Glory to you, O Lord. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they have thoroughly washed their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are other many traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrine. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called to the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For what is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to start with a word of thanks. For those of you who don't know me yet, my name is James Anderson. My wife, my daughter, and I have been coming to this church for almost a year now. About 2 months ago, I was hired on staff here at Holy Trinity as a pastoral assistant. I mostly assist with worship and do visitation ministry to members of this church. But what I would like to say thank you for is that as my wife, my daughter, and I moved halfway across the nation, we were looking for a church home, and we found Holy Trinity. And we wanted to say thank you for being so welcoming and so gracious in coming here. It's so nice to find a place to call our church home. If you have any questions for me, please feel free to come see me after the service. Now, if you ever come to dinner at my parents' house, I hope that you wash your hands before the meal. That's because it's generally for reasons of cleanliness, but also because my family has a tradition. You see, before we can claim you as a member of the table, you have to go through the ritual, in which we show you our special way of preparing butter. You see, if you warm it up just right, it holds its shape, but also it just melts evenly over whatever you put it on. Now, the way that you can demonstrate this is we show you that you can take the stick of butter and you can actually feel the heat rising off of it. But just as you start feeling that heat, you get your hand slapped right down into the butter. This is how we welcome you to our table. This is my family's ritual of welcoming that we do for most every guest. And I hope you washed your hands, because I kind of want some of that butter after you. Suddenly, I think a lot fewer people are going to take my invitation to dinner. Every branch of society has its own set of traditions, some of which are good, some are bad, and some are just plain weird. From the top of our government, who pardon turkeys around the time of Thanksgiving, but also who have military funerals for heroes with distinguished honor, to the family traditions of bringing a tree indoors and decorating it for Christmas. It seems that everyone in some way has a tradition. Many of these traditions have been held through time before anyone could remember. We also have some traditions that were begun in our own lifetime. In today's reading, Jesus talks about some of the traditions that they had in his time and about why they weren't working. So let's look at the text. Now, if you're reading Mark's gospel, you know that the Pharisees had it out for Jesus. In the earlier chapters before the one we read for our gospel text today, the Pharisees decided that they wanted to kill Jesus. They just needed something to trap him, to make it look like it wasn't their fault. So the Pharisees came from Jerusalem, and they came about 70 miles to Galilee, where Jesus was. And they saw that some of Jesus' disciples, not all of them, by the way, just some, were eating food without having washed their hands. So they held Jesus accountable for this. Now, a word about this matter. You see, those who followed the laws of Moses had a strict code of conduct that specified what they could and what they very much could not do. Having been given these rules meant understand what God expected from the people. There's another verse in Deuteronomy that says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God and is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." So when the Pharisees and the people who kept the law saw the disciples were doing something wrong, that is a big deal. This is why the Pharisees looked at Jesus and said, "Why don't your followers do it the right way?" Jesus knows their hearts. They're not trying to correct them because of love of God or for cleanliness. This was about power and control. This is because the traditions and rituals that they had put in place replaced God's word. Essentially, what they tried to do was put God in a box and say, "Do this, and God will love you." It doesn't work that way. You really can't put God in a box. Jesus comes back and calls the Pharisees hypocrites and quotes the prophet Isaiah, and then goes on to address the crowds and says that it's not the things that we take into our bodies, not the food or our unclean hands, none of that is what defiles us. It's what comes from within that defiles. It is that inborn sin within us that causes every human to have evil thoughts. Murder, lust, greed, envy, the list goes on. It is that sin which, when it comes to the surface as evil, is the thing that defiles us. Let me give you another example. Martin Luther, late 1400s, early 1500s, you might have heard of him, maybe? He was a promising law student, one of the best in his class, who gave up that life to become a monk of a holy order. The order he joined, known as the Black Cloister, was one, if not the hardest, monk groups to be in because of how hard the rules were. They lived in total silence, begged for their food in the street, worked the land, read the Bible every day, and had confession at least once a week. This is in addition to a large number of other rules that went on inside the monastery. Luther worked harder than any of the other monks. He studied harder, he scrubbed the floors harder, he fasted more often, studied more, prayed more. But the more he tried, the more he failed. And the more he failed, the more he confessed. He confessed at one point to the point in which the person who he was confessing to threw him out of confession because he was tired of Luther coming almost every hour. You see, Luther tried to follow the traditions and the rules set by man, but none of them got him closer to God. No amount of good works or good deeds or hard work fought the sin that was inside of him. No number of rules gave him comfort. Sin is a reality that we all live with, and it's never easy to talk about. I can't begin to imagine the number of times that I've messed up, and worse is the number of times I've messed up in the same way twice. Sin is a force from within us that causes us to harm ourselves and others. If you need proof of this, you need only look at the front page of any newspaper. Over the years, many of the ways in which sin has taken root, so much so that when we hear about something, we're taken aback and we can say, wait, that's still going on? Yes. Oh yes, it's still happening. Dictators rule with iron fists. People live in dangerous situations, bound by poverty, and the realities of sin and death become more apparent day after day. But there is hope. You see, sin is not the only thing working in us. Dear friends in Christ, God loves you. God loves you so much that Jesus came to die for that sin that is within us. And while there is nothing that we can do by ourselves to win God's love, we don't have to. God loves you already and is working in you through faith. And that love changes people. It's because of love and grace from God that we are able to love others. Traditions are not always a bad thing. There are many traditions that actually bring us closer, such as coming to church or taking communion. These are ways in which we can see God's love in our world. Sin may be the force from within that defiles, but God is the force within that cleanses us, heals us, and helps us to face life anew. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be challenges. There will be. But God will be with you every step of the way. And we here, this family here at Holy Trinity, will be here to help as well. So dear friends in Christ, find that love of God. Dive into Scripture. Spend time in prayer. Enjoy fellowship with one another. And in doing so, you are building the kingdom of heaven here on earth. This week, I challenge you to take your traditions, whether it's your daily routine or that one special moment each week, and make it about God. Share the love of God with another person who needs it. And if you find that you have a tradition that's been hurting your neighbor, maybe it's time to start a new tradition instead that helps them. It's because God loved us first that we are able to love others. And when we show God's love again and again and again, we are creating a tradition of love and grace. And in doing these things, I hope you're able to say, thanks be to God. Amen.